Hello and welcome to the first episode of the official Arizona Fall League podcast. I'm Dylan Higgins and I'm joined by Nate Rowan. How are you doing today, Nate?
Doing good. Arizona Fall League season is upon us.
Yes, it is. We'll be opening up today. Tuesday, October 8th is the first day of the 2013 season and the first day you can download this podcast. We'll be bringing you a podcast every week going forward, hopefully dropping every Tuesday as well, trying to preview and recap things going on, do some interviews with people around the league and players and managers as well. If you aren't familiar with the Fall League, it's a winter league with six teams that are made up of the top prospects from all around baseball in the 30 organizations.
Yeah, and Dylan and I don't think can give the league its due, per se. We'll have the director of the league, Steve Cobb, on later in the episode to kind of discuss what the Fall League is and kind of how it came to fruition, if you will. But we'll have Steve on and give a little bit more background and how the league operates once it begins on Tuesday.
Steve's also going to talk about some events we have going on this week, opening week of the Fall League. Ryan Howard will be inducted into the Hall of Fame on Wednesday, the 9th. And then on Saturday, we have the Bowman Hitting Challenge, which is something unique and new to the Fall League. And you'll want to check that out. So stay tuned to hear from Steve and what he has to say about that.
So we'll also take a look at some of the players that will be in the Fall League this year with the help of Jonathan Mayo from MLB.com, who puts together their top 100 prospects list. 24 of the top 100 players, according to Jonathan, are coming to the Fall League in Arizona over the next 6 weeks. So there's definitely a lot of talent, future stars on the field, and Jonathan will cover those individual players as we get further into this podcast.
Yeah, and I know every year we say we're really excited about the amount of talent that we get here at the Fall League, but especially excited this year. I know that usually, typically, 60% of all Fall League players throughout the over 20 years history of the league have made it to the major leagues, but this year we've got an especially great crop. Like you said, 24 of the top 100 guys, and all the minor leagues are going to be here, so we'll make sure to preview those guys, some of the biggest names that we have showing up.
Yeah, that's right, Dylan, including the top prospect in all of baseball, Byron Buxton, who's property of the Minnesota Twins. I grew up in Minnesota as a Twins fan. Buxton has certainly given a lot of hope to the Twins fans in Minnesota and the fans around the country after a couple rough seasons. So Buxton's kind of that ray of hope, and people are really eager to see what he does here in the Fall League against some of the top talent after what he did in his first full season in professional ball last year.
Yeah, I know you're really excited to see Buxton. We also have guys like Addison Russell from the A's, Albert Almora, Chris Bryant, Corey Seager, Delino DeShields, and just a lot of big names. And so we'll be previewing those with Jonathan Mayo here coming up after the break, after we talk to Steve.
Not just those players that you mentioned, Dylan, but also a heck of a lot more players that are not even listed in the top 100 prospects that a lot of people have hopes for, and a lot of prospect guys are drooling to see play in person, and those rosters change frequently, so if fans want to keep tabs on the new rosters or for more information about the Fall League, visit the website at MLBFallBall.com. That has the full schedule that includes 3 games a day all over the Phoenix area for the next 6 weeks. At least one day game beginning at 12:35 every single day. And as we get towards the World Series, just so that we're not trying to compete, we will have all 3 games begin at 12:35. But for the most part, there's at least one day game and one night game almost every single day throughout the season. Night games begin at 6:35. And once again, you just check out our schedule online. That will indicate which teams are playing where. Tickets are also available for $7 the day of the game for adults, $6 for seniors and students. You can also get a season pass if you'd like, and the number to reach the office here at Scottsdale Stadium is also on the website. Once again, that's MLBFallBall.com.
Without further ado, let's go ahead and get to our interviews. Coming up will be Steve Cobb, the director of the Fall League for over 20 years, and then following him will be Jonathan Mayo talking to us from MLB.com about our prospects. So stay tuned after the jump.
Joined now by the Arizona Fall League director, Steve Cobb. Steve, thanks for joining the podcast today. First question is, a lot of people are unfamiliar with what the league is and kind of what its direction is. Can you enlighten people who may not know what the AFL is all about?
Well, the AFL was created back in 1992 as a domestic option for U.S.-born players, primarily. And really what the need was all around having a place where U.S.-born players could hone their skills and be monitored on a daily basis by the parent organization. When you go and play in a foreign country, a lot of times the organizations have discovered that they lost control of that day-to-day monitoring. And so that's why the league was created, and the players that we have here are essentially first-round draft picks, minor league all-stars after they've had the normal minor league season, spring and summer. They earn the right to come to the Arizona Fall League.
Yeah, and I read that about 60% of all players that come here end up in the major leagues, which is actually a pretty good rate compared to the minor leagues. A lot of good talent coming here.
Well, that is true, and I give credit to the major league organizations for that, because each year they have repeatedly sent their top prospects here, and that's why the scouting community and the general managers flock here every fall, because the talent base that's running around these fields is off the chart. And the projection for most of these guys, they're going to reach the major leagues.
And one of those guys that reached the major leagues is Ryan Howard, who has had a pretty good career with the Philadelphia Phillies so far and had some injuries in 2013. But he's going to be inducted into the Arizona Fall League Hall of Fame. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, we're excited about it. Actually, the opening night for the Scottsdale team on October 9th, we will be officially inducting Ryan Howard into our Hall of Fame. You know, Ryan is it's kind of interesting. He was voted in 2011. But I think if you remember, he was involved in that season-ending injury in the NLCS, where he had surgery. And then last season, he still continued some of his rehab, and then he got married. So this is definitely true that the third time's the charm. We're real excited because Ryan was on the championship team in 2004 with the Phoenix Desert Dogs and kind of started that dynasty of five straight. So Ryan was outstanding here, and obviously his numbers speak for themselves now and is very, very worthy of coming into our Hall of Fame.
And Ryan will be here on the 9th as well, right, for his induction?
He will be here, and we will begin locally at 6 o'clock, and we're looking forward to it. You know, he's a key player in our history. And a few years ago, we inducted Albert Pujols on opening night here in Scottsdale, and that was a really big evening for us.
When you look at the division series rosters in the playoffs with the eight teams that are currently in the NLDS and the ALDS, significant amount of those players, in fact, nearly half of them, are AFL products. How proud does that make you to not only know that you're producing some of the top stars, but also players that are role players and with their specific teams?
Well, we feel very good about it. We feel great that the organizations have entrusted us with that caliber of player. And, you know, once they get to the Arizona Fall League, it certainly doesn't mean they're going to make it to the majors. There's no guarantee. But what it does, in most cases, puts a player on a major league track and gets on the 40-man roster for the first time, and then the doors really start opening for them. So as I look back, and you know, we're watching the postseason now, it is a nice feeling. But I think what we feel strongest about is that the clubs truly trusted us with their top key talent that is their future, and now it's come to fruition. So
I'm going to ask you about a new event we have going on this year that a lot of people don't know a lot about or excited about. I know you're excited. The Bowman Hitting Challenge coming up on Saturday. Can you tell us what's going on here?
Well, it's still a work in progress. I'd be lying to fans, but I assure them that that night we will have it crystallized. But it's essentially a home run derby, and players will be rewarded for hitting home runs. But we've also put in an interesting element that there will be on the field, infield and outfield areas, moving as well as stationary targets. And when players hit those targets at any time, fans will have an opportunity to win prizes as well. So the player will benefit for being able to gain points, but fans will get excited because they'll win various prizes that's given out throughout the evening. Players will hit for a total of 2 minutes, so there'll be a timed element, and their first four pitches will be required to be bunts, and after that they're free to swing away. Any foul ball that they have, points are going to be taken away. So it's going to be interesting to see how well these guys do. And then at the end of the two-minute period, we're going to put one ball, bring a tee out, put a ball on it, and call it the Bowman bonus ball, whereby wherever they hit it, assuming it hits a target, that it'll be worth double points. So we're looking forward to it. We're having an opportunity to talk to the players now with the workouts getting underway, and most of them seem excited to give it a go.
And there will be a representative, a player hitting from every organization, right?
That's our goal. Haven't solidified that yet, but certainly if the organizations have granted us permission to approach players, and I believe all have done that, that we feel confident that we'll have a representative from each of the organizations. And I might add, we are we've invited members from the Wounded Warrior Project to participate. So if all goes well, we'll have three representatives from the Wounded Warrior Project national team. And I have heard from several reliable sources that these guys can flat out hit. And so I'm looking forward to that part of it as well.
And fans can check out the Bowman Hitting Challenge on the first Saturday of the AFL season, which opens up on Tuesday. Hitting Challenge is on Saturday, October 12th at Salt River Fields, beginning at 6:35. Is that correct, Steve?
That's correct, yes.
Any final thoughts to try to get our fans interested in the Arizona Fall League this season, trying to come out and catch a game?
If they like baseball, they're going to love the Arizona Fall League, and they're going to love seeing these young players really bust their hump, because the stakes are really, really high for them. I believe in my 21 seasons, this is definitely one of the top two or three classes that we've ever had, from top to bottom. There's some premium arms. There's some outstanding major league prospects. And I don't think that fans will be disappointed when they come out, because, you know, we put five organizations together to form a team, so obviously in a normal game, there's 10 organizations, players that are showcased. And that's a very unique experience, and you get to see the next wave of major league players. So if you're in the Phoenix area, encourage you to come out. The facilities are second to none where we play, and I think you'll see top-caliber baseball played and enjoy yourself.
Well, thanks for joining us, Steve, coming on the first edition of the Arizona Fall League podcast. Couldn't think of a better guest to have to open us up here.
It's always nice to be a part of the inaugural broadcast. We'll look back at this someday, I hope, and say this is when it all started.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Stay tuned after the break. We'll be joined by Jonathan Mayo from MLB.com as he previews some of the big talent we have coming here from his top 100 list of minor league prospects. Back. I'm joined here by Jonathan Mayo from MLB.com. How you doing today, Jonathan?
I'm outstanding, Dylan.
I'm glad to have you here in Arizona. How'd your flight?
It was all right. You know, a little under the weather, but I made it here in one piece, and looking forward to seeing the start of some Fall League action.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you here. This will be year what? 13,
47. 14? I don't too many to count. I know I can't use just my fingers anymore, but I started MLB.com in April of 99. I honestly can't remember whether I came out here that first year, but pretty much every year since then. So, yeah, 13 or 14.
So you've seen about as much Fall League action as most prospect experts, so we're glad to have you here.
It's always fun. I love this trip, not just for the food and the weather. You know, just very few places where you can get this kind of access and see this kind of talent on a daily basis.
And I know we're really excited about the crop that we have here this year, but can you give us your initial reaction to seeing these rosters come out and who's coming to play for us?
My initial reaction was that it was very strong, you know, and you know, and I were joking that, you know, you can say that every year, but I felt that there were fewer teams that you just scratched your head and said, who? You know, and I think the fact, you know, so the fact that there were fewer of those instances where teams sent, you know, guys who maybe aren't quite as much on the prospect radar, that's a good sign in terms of the level of player that'll be here this fall.
And according to your official top 100 on MLB.com, we have 24 of those guys. Almost a quarter of the top guys in all the minor leagues are going to be here this season. And that's quite a few, so we're pretty excited about it. Anybody stand out to you immediately? Of course, we have Byron Buxton, number one overall. Can't do much better than that.
I think you have to start with him. And pretty much any conversation almost defaults to starting with him. And you know, Jim Callis and I had a, you know, we were doing these point-counterpoint perspective pieces, and we had to write about who we were most excited to see, and we both agreed, well, we can't write about Byron Buxton. Just like when we were writing about who we felt is the best hitting prospect, can't write about him because he's obvious.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's going to be exciting to see him here against a higher level of competition that he's faced. I think that, you know, if he performs well here, he takes what he learns here with him into next spring, it wouldn't shock me if he started the year in Double A and it was on a bit of a faster track, and he'll play all of next year at age 20. So, you know, he's ahead of the curve anyway. You know, I think it's just interesting because he was the kind of guy who people, you know, they knew he'd be good. No one thought he'd be this good this quickly. Yeah. And, you know, I think that some of it is just because the level of competition, you know, that he faced in Georgia wasn't very good. So it was hard to really gauge. You know, it's like, well, you know, how much of these tools he has are raw, you know, it's just, yeah. How much of a baseball player he is. Well, I think he showed this year that he's a baseball player.
Yeah, he did pretty well matched all expectations, probably exceeded most of them, especially for his age. And the Twins, of course, have a pretty strong system, also sending Alex Meyer out here, which is a pitcher a lot of people are excited to see as well.
Yeah, Eddie Rosario, too. I mean, it's they've got a good crop, and Alex Meyer is interesting, a guy they got in trade, and there's a lot to like. I mean, he's going to be a fun guy to watch here, especially if he's used in shorter stints, just because he can throw so hard. I mean, there have been people who thought that he might be slated to the bullpen, but I think his command has improved where there aren't nearly as many people talking about it. So I think you know, he'll have to make that next step here in terms of command to show that he can remain a starter as he creeps closer to the big leagues.
And you mentioned you wrote some preview articles online with Jim Callis. You highlighted two players specifically, other than Byron Buxton, since he was off limits, Marcus Stroman and Shields.
Marcus Stroman is a guy that I've been eager to see, you know, since he was an amateur. He closed for USA Baseball in between his sophomore and junior year, and I was covering the Prospect Classic, and he didn't pitch. And over the course of that summer, he had, I think he didn't give up a run. He struck out like 17 and 11, and it was like video game type numbers. And
you never got to see him?
And I never got to see him because he didn't pitch until they were playing. They didn't have any set tournaments that year, but they didn't use him until he was pitching against international competition. And then, of course, he went to Duke and has been a starter. And it just, you know, he brings a lot of energy. I think he's handled the suspension thing exceedingly well, and I'm just excited to see him in this kind of form. And then DeShields is the other guy who, you know, I saw him at the Futures game, but that's not really a good look. And I love anybody that has that kind of speed. But I think this is also going to be good for him to show how much the hit tool has come along since he started a couple years ago.
Yeah, we were talking about the comparisons with Billy Hamilton in terms of speed. Billy Hamilton, of course, with the Peoria Javelinas here at the Fall League last year, and then we got to see at the end of the regular season how that speed can translate to making a difference in the major leagues. And DeShields got overshadowed a little bit, given he stole over 100 bases.
Yeah, 103.
Year. Yeah, and nobody talked about it, given what Billy did. And here's DeShields now also coming up this year, coming to the Fall League. And you hate to compare directly, but can also definitely make a big difference for the Astros.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think the same path could happen. Not that the Astros are going to be competing necessarily next year, but, you know, DeShields will move up to Double A. If he performs well, he could move up. And I don't think that the Astros are going to stand in his way. If you look at the makeup of their big league outfield, there's no now that DeShields has moved to the outfield, or is moving to the outfield here, I should say, it'd be interesting to see if he can make some sort of contribution or impact, sort of akin to Billy Hamilton. I think that the Shields, people may believe in his hit tool a little bit more than Hamilton's. He's a little more physical. But the best thing they probably ever did was had him repeat the South Atlantic League. You know, mm-hmm. people think of that as that's a bad thing. But he went and he dominated, and then he moved up and he hit extremely well, but it was in the California League. So, again, it's like he needs to move up and show that he wasn't a creature of his environment, at least in 2013.
Yeah, so he should be a real exciting player to see here, given his speed and the opportunity to learn a new position and run around the outfield in the fall league.
And he's played, you know, turned pro, he played a little bit of outfield. I mean, not a lot, but a little, and there was debate. And they left him at second, and, now they moved him back out, which, I guess they decided that was probably the best way to get him to the big leagues. You got Jose Altuve in Houston. That certainly hurt his chances, but his speed should play fine there.
And then I was wondering, given how many years you've been to the Fall League and the many great players you've seen come through, do any of them really stick out in your head in terms of remembering them, perform well here in the Fall League, and then go on to do great things in the majors?
Well, the funny thing is the guy who stands out the most in terms of performing well is Brandon Wood, who didn't go on to perform all that well in the big leagues, but boy, was he unbelievable here. Yeah. You know, when Gio Gonzalez threw here, he actually did back in the days of MLB Radio on MLB.com, he did a regular segment with us. I saw Ryan Howard attempt to play the outfield here.
Oh, man. Ryan Howard, we're inducting into our Hall of Fame.
Right. Yeah, it was a failed experiment, obviously, but he gave it a go.
Well, he ended up at first, yeah.
Yeah, well, he was a first baseman, and then I think the Phillies were, at the time, Jim Thome was there blocking his path, and they're like, well, if he can go out there and stand out in left field and catch the ball if it's hit at him, but I think he may have gotten hurt. Yeah. But what really impressed me more, people talk about, the strikeouts and the home runs, and yes, he does strike out a lot, but when he was here, every batting practice, all he did was pepper balls off the left center field wall. Now, he's gotten away from that a little bit. That's not what he gets his paycheck for. But I remember at the time, fairly certain that this was after he had his monster 49-homer season or whatever it was in the minors. And he came here, and I was just expecting him to yank everything. And then all of a sudden, all there he is boom, left center, boom, left, left center, left center, left center. It's like, okay, he's a little bit more of a hitter than I think people were giving him credit for. I remember Tyson Gillies coming here. He had missed an entire season because of injury. And he hasn't gone on to make it to the big leagues, at least not yet. But he sprinted in and out of the dugout because he was so happy to be playing baseball.
Yeah, after missing a season.
Right. Bryce Harper is another one. And I think the first time he was here, he was on the taxi squad, and everyone was expecting this prima donna who expected the world to come to him. And people saw what he is. Maybe it's too much sometimes, but he was all out. And they had to teach him. Like, I saw him hit a line drive to third, and he sprinted all the way to first.
Yeah.
Because that's what he had been taught. And they were like, if once it's out, it's okay. You can stop, And it was hard for him to sit.
Yeah.
But it taught him a lot to sit and watch and things like that. But he was a guy that there were a lot of people on his team that year that expected him to be a jerk. Mm-hmm. And they loved him. He showed here first that he's kind of old school in terms of how he approaches the game.
Well, that's great. Thanks for sitting down with us, Jonathan, and talking to us about the many things you see in the Fall League and the things coming up that we're excited about. Anything else you have going on we should check out?
Oh, just, we've sort of rebranded the section. It's MLBpipeline.com for all the prospect stuff, and then, of course, MLBfallball.com for all the Arizona Fall League stuff. I'm out here this week doing a lot of video stuff, and Jim Callis and I are going to be doing team reports over the next couple weeks. So keep an eye out for those on your favorite club sites for reports on the prospects that your team has sent here to the Arizona Fall League.
Well, that's perfect. We'll definitely keep an eye out for that. Thanks again, Jonathan. Stay tuned after the break. Me and Nathan will close out the end of the podcast.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of the first week of the Arizona Fall League podcast. I'm Dylan, still joined with Nate. And to wrap up the first podcast, we'd like to do a good finish to our preview. Nate and I are going to make some predictions for this season, which is pretty impossible to do, to be fair, because these games have a lot of moving parts, and it's known to be a very hitting-friendly league, given the temperature and the players and the kind of prospects that come out here. But it's still fun to make predictions. I know, Nate, last year you kind of called it. You had Peoria out the gate, and they ended up being the champions.
But to be fair, I also said that Mesa was going to be the team from the East, and Mesa ended up finishing in last place. Just to give people a sense of exactly what type of talent is here, a couple years ago, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout were on the same team, and they played in the same outfield, and they finished record-wise fifth out of six teams. So there are a lot of very good players that are not towards the top of the top 100 prospects list, just because that list is limited to 100. There are a lot of very good players here. So certainly the original rosters that we see will not ultimately, on paper, determine our champion.
And despite that disclaimer, we're still going to want to make some guesses anyway, just for fun, me and Nate, before week one. Let's see who we think looks best on paper today. I'm going to go first. I'm going to take the Mesa Solar Sox, who you had as the runner-up last year. I think they look pretty good this year. They have players from the Angels, the Athletics, the Cubs, the Nationals, and the Tigers. They'll be playing at Hohokam Park. And they have really the Cubs prospects out here. It's one of the best crop that's been sent in a while. We have Chris Bryant. We have C.J. Crone from the Angels. We have Addison Russell, the top Oakland A's prospect. We have Jorge Soler. Brian Goodwin was here last year. Just a really stacked team, top to bottom. And I like a lot of these names here for Mesa, and I'm feeling pretty good about them. So I think we'll see a lot of runs scored over in Mesa, and so I'm going with my gut with them. On paper, I'm picking Mesa to win the championship in 2013.
Now, we have a new team in Glendale this year who takes over for Phoenix. If people are unaware of that, we moved the league offices during the season from Phoenix Muni to Scottsdale Stadium. That's where we work out of during the season. That team moved to Glendale and the nice facility that the Dodgers and White Sox enjoy during spring training. So I'm actually going to go with the Glendale Desert Dogs, comprised of players from the Dodgers, the Marlins, Reds, Twins, and White Sox.
Yeah, you're Twins, huh? Voting for your Twins.
And I, to be fair, I picked, as Dylan mentioned, I picked Peoria last year. And if you take a look at the Peoria roster, I mean, at least six of them we're playing pretty much every day in the major leagues by the end of this major league season. So, but anyway, back to 2013. I'm picking the Desert Dogs, led by the top prospect in baseball, Byron Buxton. Had a heck of a year in his first full pro season between low A and high A. Finished with the Fort Myers Miracle. But he's also joined by a couple top prospects. Start with the White Sox, Marcus Semien, who actually led the minor leagues in runs scored this year. Micah Johnson, also from Chicago, led the minor leagues in stolen bases, stole 9 more bases than Billy Hamilton, which I think really speaks volumes after what we saw from Billy once he was called up. Also an Arizona Fall League guy that was with Peoria last year. But also the Marlins. I mean, the Marlins are sending Colin Moran, big prospect from North Carolina that was a star for the Tar Heels. The Twins are also sending, I believe, 3 top 100 prospects, and Alex Meyer to go along with Buxton and Eddie Rosario in the infield. Max Kepler also joins the Twins prospects, a German-born player who actually received the highest signing bonus from any European-born player when he was originally signed in 2009. But Kyle Seager's younger brother, Corey, is a big prospect for the Dodgers. He comes this year. It's one of those lineups that has the potential to explode on any given day, but then also has the pitching prospects that not a lot of Arizona Fall League teams are able to get. So I'll take the Desert Dogs, and it's a long-winded response, but I'll take the Desert Dogs to win the AFL, and unfortunately dooms the Glendale squad for a championship this year.
Maybe so. It was there's clearly a long list of reasons why Glendale should be an exciting team to watch this season. So I take Mesa, you take Glendale. We're sticking with that before the first game. We'll see how that plays out throughout the rest of the season. That's going to wrap up our first episode of the Arizona Fall League podcast. Again, I'm Dylan Higgins, joined by Nate Rowan. We'll be doing this every week throughout the season. Make sure to look for downloads on our website, mlbfallball.com. Every Tuesday, we'll be bringing you additions to this and interviews from around the league.
I want to thank Steve Cobb, the director of the Arizona Fall League, as well as Jonathan Mayo from MLB.com for being on the podcast this week. Other guests hopefully include managers and players from the AFL this year as we go forward. Once again, this is just the opening episode. We hope you join us for future episodes. We hope to get 6 or 7 episodes in by the end of this thing, and hope you join us each and every week to get updates on your favorite minor league players.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Nate. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys at the park.